Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. And for this very reason, we are here. We have come to hear God's word, to receive his forgiveness and sing his praises. So let our time of worship begin. The Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
First reading is from Exodus chapter 1, 17, 1 through 7. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the Lord thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why do you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and all our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you strike the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here,
when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to Him, I know that Messiah is coming. He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And together we confess, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Grace,
mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, let's begin by recalling that conversation Jesus had last week with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. First of all, my friends, what do we know of the Pharisees? Well, we know that Pharisees were leaders of the people. And that would mean that Nicodemus was a man of authority. And of course, so was Jesus. Therefore, in today's context, Nicodemus' encounter with Jesus could be compared to a meeting of two leaders from two different kingdoms. As for today, we have a Samaritan woman, a woman who encounters Jesus at the well. This lady is nothing like Nicodemus. In fact, she couldn't be more different than Nicodemus. Not only is she one of the Samaritans so despised by the Jews, the woman is known among her own people for having quite a reputation. Nicodemus held a respected position among his people. By contrast, this woman was likely looked down upon by those who knew her. Two very different people who couldn't be more alike. Both were sinners, and both needed Jesus and His gift of forgiveness. Today's gospel takes us to Samaria, a rather unlikely place for Jesus, for any Jew for that matter. Even though Samaria was located directly between Galilee and Judea, the Jews who traveled from place to place would take a long way around, crossing the Jordan River, rather than run the risk of catching Samaritan cooties. That's how much the Jews despised the Samaritans. Now that's one problem. Here's another. The Samaritan that Jesus encounters is a woman. Both Jews and Samaritans treated women as second-class citizens. Women were not permitted to converse with a man, unless, of course, accompanied by a male relative, a husband or a father or a brother. But for a woman to meet with a man alone, regardless of the setting and circumstance, that would become the talk of the town. And this particular woman had already been marked by scandal. Married five times. And now shacking up with a man to whom she was not married. The woman was guilty of adultery. And here we have Jesus, who openly engages this solitary woman in conversation. Now some might say, looking back, you can understand why Jesus took time to talk with Nicodemus, a respected leader of the church. But a Samaritan? A Samaritan woman? A Samaritan woman guilty of repeated adultery? Well, heaven forbid.
Such was the culture of that time, a culture that esteemed Nicodemus and despised the Samaritan woman. But God's judgment isn't swayed by differences of gender or culture, regardless of origin or earthly status. All nations, languages, and tribes stand as one under his holy and righteous law. And according to the law, we are all the same. Of humanity, the Holy Spirit would inspire St. Paul to write that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, there is no distinction among us in the eyes of God. And all of you can acknowledge that today with these very words. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We are no better than a self-righteous Pharisee, or for that matter, a serial adulterer. We are sinners as are they, and we all deserve the eternal punishment that God has stored up for the unrighteous. Recall, if you will, last week, how Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born of water and the Spirit. Now this week he tells the woman at the well that he is the living water that would become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. When Jesus says everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give to him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give to him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty." Well, of course, Jesus brought it up, right? So the woman's request was a reasonable one. But that woman wasn't ready for a drink. Not just yet. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." Given the culture of that day, that was a reasonable request as well. And then when the woman answered, "I have no husband," Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." You see what happened there? Jesus laid out the woman's sins before her. She had lived a life of adultery, a sin that was punishable by death. And even though today's culture would celebrate this woman's lifestyle choices, adultery is still a sin that earns eternal punishment to those who do not confess and repent of it. Of course, there will be those who claim that I am being judgmental for making such a statement. To them, I would say, "My friends, I do not judge. I have no right to judge. I simply make clear what God himself declares." Is that being narrow-minded, misogynistic, bigoted, or cruel? No. It is expressing the love of God to anyone who is caught up in sin, that they might face up to it, that they might own up to it, acknowledge it, and be forgiven. That is the law of God. It shows us our sin. It calls us to repentance. It shows us our need for a Savior and leads us to Jesus, the living water of the gospel. I want you to take a look at how Jesus brought the gospel to this woman. The woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Wow. The same Jesus who presented this woman with her sin now shows her the salvation from that sin. Jesus, the gospel in the flesh. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Jesus, the Savior from all our sins. And then the Holy Spirit used Jesus' word to produce faith in the heart of this woman. This woman became a spring of living water, and so much so that she left her water jar behind to share the news with the townspeople. The woman said to them, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" How about that? This lowly and despised Samaritan woman, once an adulteress, now a witness and a missionary. And I want you to think about the boldness of this woman's confession. She invites everyone to come and meet the man who told me I'm a sinner. My friends, that's a confession. The miracle of faith that Jesus' word had worked in her heart would spread throughout the entire town. And so much so that the people there would ask him to stay with them. And Jesus did stay with them for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." For faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The power of the word of God, my friends. The word that transcends all cultures, classes, and divisions. The word that gives life to the dead. The word that gives hope to the hopeless. The only word that can rescue the lowly and mighty alike from the fires of hell. The very word made flesh that lived under the law and died on the cross to save sinners. To save you and to save me. As lowly as we be, because are you ready? Only sinners qualify for this salvation. Love. What love is this? Except the love which calls sinners to repentance, that you and I might know the forgiveness of God and all the glories of heaven that he has stored up for those who love him. Today, God has called upon you to confess and repent of your sin. And this, my friends, you have done in his presence. If I may say so, thanks be to God that you are here. Thanks be to God that you are part of this Christian church. And not because you or I are any better than anyone else. We are not. But because we seek to be honest about sin and to deal with sin honestly. First, by confessing of our own sins and encouraging others we know who live in sin to come to the Lord Jesus, that they might do likewise, to live in that blessed forgiveness and look forward to a glorious and eternal future with him. The Samaritan woman was called. You have been called as well. And today I invite you to share the news. Tell everyone that God shows his love for us, that while in Christ Jesus, he died for sinners. Christ died for us. And through that death, we receive the forgiveness of sins. We receive life and salvation. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have received all that today. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.